Turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, it's a very familiar place. We're continuing our study of what we're calling God's truths. This semester in the Grow Groups, we're seeing various foundational truths. I mean, these are key for us to know the Bible. These are truths that we can know and apply in our lives. In fact, I've got down for you our goal, and if you've got written down there, our goal is this. Our goal is that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace, grow in knowledge, and that we would be ready to give an answer to anyone concerning what we believe. And that's why we're hitting some really foundational truths. The very first lesson we ever dealt with was called Revelation. And Revelation is God making himself what? That's God making himself known. And there were a lot of different ways that God made himself known, but we talked about the world, we talked about the Son, Jesus, his Son, Jesus Christ, we talked about the Bible. Lesson last week was inspiration. Inspiration is God's revelation in what? In a written form. And the inspiration that we're talking about is what we call the Bible, the Word of God. And we spent some time on that, and we talked about the Bible and how it fit together and how the writers were inspired and the writings were inspired and all of that. Well, in this lesson, we're going to look at two key things. You can just tell by the title that we're going to look at the gospel and the gospels. I put this together, and there's a plan. Over we go through the course of the semester, there are actually about 22 Sunday mornings. Yeah, yes. They were giving them out when people came in. Any more handouts? We'll get some. Yeah. Thanks, Brian. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else need a handout? That's okay. That's okay. All righty. We're looking at the gospel and the gospels. Now, once again, this is foundational things. As I said, there's 22 Sunday mornings this semester. So our grow groups are going to be, we meet 22 different times. This is actually our fourth time to meet. Our very first lesson was the purpose, plan, and process of our church. That was the first one. Now this is lesson number 3 in this study. And we're going to see foundational truths that every one of us in this room need to know and then be able to pass on to other people. So that's what it is. Now we're talking about the gospel this morning. You can follow along on your sheet, the gospel. The gospel is the good news message concerning our salvation. That's what we call the gospel message. We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about the gospels, deal with the four books in the New Testament concerning the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're looking at this morning, these foundational truths. As we look today, I want you to see how it all fits together. We want to understand the gospel so that we can share our faith. We want to understand the gospels, those four books, and see how that fits together. So that's the key as we do all this. Well, let's start with this. Everybody wants good news. I mean, if somebody says, I got something to tell you, you want something to be good news. We don't want bad news. We want good news. We want to hear we won the game. We want to hear that we got an A. We want to hear that we got $1 million. You know, we want to hear that we won the lottery. We finished first place in the contest. That's what we want to hear. We love good news. When you hear the word gospel, what do you think of? Do you think of the four books in the Bible? Because people say, oh, you mean the gospels? Yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Or do you think of the message called the gospel, the good news message, dealing with our salvation, the message that we are supposed to proclaim in this community? What do you think of? So in this lesson, we're going to look at both of them. We're going to look at the gospel message. Now, let me just say this. If you don't know this already, because what I'm doing is I'm giving you things that you should know, that these are foundational truths. For a lot of us, we say, well, I pretty much had that. I've known that before. Well, good. And you should know it so well that you could come up and teach it. You should. Really, because we're going to talk about the gospel and the response to the gospel. We're going to talk about all of that. Then we're going to talk about the gospels. And so that's really the key. And so in this lesson, we're going to deal with both of these things. So let's just do this. Let's think about this. We want to be clear on the good news message, which is the gospel. And we want to know how the Bible fits together the four gospels, okay? So let's start with the gospel, okay? The gospel, and we're going to see the message and response. When you say the gospel, we're going to talk about the message, which is the good news, and then the response to that good news. And this is something that every one of us in this room ought to know because this is how we share our faith. You remember what is the purpose of our church? To what? Make disciples. And making disciples involves two things. What is it? Evangelism and training. Well, if you're going to evangelize, you got to know what? the gospel, the good news message. You've got to be ready to go out and to take that message into our community. So we're going to talk about the gospel, the message, and the response. So let's start with this. You should be in 1 Corinthians 15, but let's start with this. The word gospel comes from a Greek word which actually means good news. So I've got in your little handout there, it says the word gospel means what? It means good news, because we're bringing a good news message. You ever thought about selling a product? What if you went door to door? Some of you may have gone door to door and sell books or sell. You go to the door and you say, look, this is one of the best books I've ever read, and it's only $14.95. Okay? We've got a message that is not just a book, it's eternal life, and it doesn't cost a penny. It's a gift. So we need to be excited about this good news, because we're not going with a message and say for only $14.95 you can have this. We're saying by faith in Christ you can have eternal life. And so we've got this good news message. And so we want to think about that. The noun means good news. The verb in the Greek actually means the one who brings good news. So let's think about the gospel. What's this good news about? To simply put, it's about the death and resurrection of Christ. It's how Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, and whoever believes in him has eternal life. You have heard me say this over and over and over again. I say it on Sunday mornings a bunch. We're going through the book of Galatians on Sunday morning, and in the book of Galatians, basically the first four chapters, especially chapters 3 and 4, Paul is dealing over and over that salvation is a gift by faith and it's not by the works of the law. And that's what we've been seeing. So when we talk about good news, and what Paul said in Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God resulting in salvation. So on your handout, you should say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, by the way, the word ashamed doesn't mean, the Greek word that's been translated into English, ashamed, doesn't mean the same thing as we think of shame. Like if you said you're ashamed of your brother, yeah, he always gets into trouble, I'm kind of ashamed of him. That's not what this word means. This word means disappointed. He says, I am not disappointed in the gospel. Why? Because it does what it says. It does what? It gives eternal life. The message of the gospel gives eternal life to whoever believes. So he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it results in salvation to all who believe. Okay, let's go to the top of the next page. And when we talk about the gospel, there are two parts that we want to talk about. We want to talk about the message. What is our message? Every one of us in this room, when I start saying the message, you know it. You might not could come up here and me say, you do it. You go, well, no, I need a little help. Okay, but when I'm talking about it, you say, yeah, I know that one. In the same way that I say, what's the purpose of our church? You say, make disciples. You know that. And if I say making disciples involves two things, you say, evangelism and training. I mean, you know this. Okay, so when we talk about the gospel message, what is this good news? You know it. It's not going to be anything new. And then we talk about the response. How do we respond to the message? What do we want people to do? We'll see that, and we'll see it as we go through it. Let's start with the gospel message, okay? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. Basically 3 and 4 are the key, but I want you to see how he starts it off. Look at verse 1. What does Paul say? Now I make known to you, brethren, what? What does he say? The gospel. He says, I make known to you the gospel. I make known to you this good news message. And that's the key. So look down at verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, where Paul is going to give us the gospel message. And there's two parts to it. Once again, most of you know this. You've heard me teach this so many times over the years, but I want you to see what it is. Paul says, for I deliver to you of first importance, which I also received. He says, I gave to you of the very first thing I gave you. This is the most important thing of all that I gave you. He said, I also received it. I received it basically from Jesus Christ. And here it is. Part one of the gospel is this. He said, I make known to you the gospel. Here's part one of the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That's part one. Part one is that Jesus Christ died for us. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. That's the key. So when you write that out, write, Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. Look what he says, verse 3. For I delivered to you as first importance, I also received that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Well, he died for us. And why? Why would Jesus Christ die for us? Why? Huh? Okay, but why did he have to die? Because what? To pay for what? The wages of sin is We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, so we all owe God death. So what did Jesus Christ do? Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to pay for our sins. So the first part of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He died for us to pay for our sins. Now, notice, I've got there, according to the scripture. The scripture is Isaiah 53:6. I just put it out there for you. You just need to write the word according to the scripture. Isaiah 53:6 is Old Testament passages. But when Paul wrote this, and when he says according to scripture, he's not talking about New Testament. He's talking about Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, I put Isaiah 53:6 to be exact, actually is Isaiah telling that the Messiah is going to die for people. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way, but the Lord hath laid on him our iniquities. It goes on to say, he was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our sins. So Isaiah tells us that Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, would die for us. And so Paul says, I make known to you the gospel. The gospel, first of all, is that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, Isaiah 53. And the proof that he died is what? They buried him. Notice verse 4, and he was buried. You don't bury live people, you bury dead people. They took Jesus off the cross. You know, there are all kind of theories, and people were saying, Jesus never died, he just swooned. Swooned? What was the last thing after Jesus died on the cross, and they came up to him and said, he's dead, what did they do? What did a soldier do? He stuck him all the way through. People say, oh, he was just like asleep on the cross, and they took him down, and then he came out. After he got in the cool tomb, he went, ooh, I feel a lot better now, and walked out. That's what some people teach. You know that? There are people who teach that Jesus didn't actually die because they can't believe that somebody can be raised from the dead. And so the first part of the gospel is what? Christ died for what? Our sins according to the what scripture? And what's the proof that he died? They buried him. Okay, now let's look at part two. Here's part two. Look what it goes on to say. And that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. The second part of the gospel is the resurrection. And that's the key, by the way. When you tell people, if you tell people Jesus died for them, you're only giving them half of the good news message. Because if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, it nothing counts. So when you talk to people, don't say, Jesus died for you, Jesus died for you. Say, Jesus died and rose again for you. Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, and he rose again. Listen, the death was to pay for sin, and the resurrection was to conquer death. And that's the key. The death was to pay for sin, and the resurrection was to conquer death. If you got questions, comments, just stop me right now. When you get, now remember, the whole purpose, this first part of this teaching is we're going to be in here, and then you go to your grow groups, you have your fellowship time, and then we have questions, facilitation. The facilitator is going to be in there, and you're going to talk through this to make sure you're ready. So if you've got questions, you can ask them now, and you can also deal with them in your group, and so you can see what's going on. So the gospel is the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the key, okay? And it said according to the scripture. By the way, what scripture? Psalm 16:10. If you go to the top of the next page, according to in Psalm 16, the writer, which is David, says that the Messiah, the anointed one of God, would not stay dead. So the Bible actually tells us in the Old Testament that the Messiah would die for sin and rise again. What was the proof that he rose? He was seen. They saw him. If you notice, it goes on to say, and he appeared to Cephas and the 12, and then 500 people, and then another person, and then James, and then the apostles. And then Paul says, finally, I saw him. So this, the good news message is that Christ died for our sins according to Isaiah 53, and the proof that he died is they buried him, and then Christ rose on the third day according to Psalm 16:10, and the proof was he was saying. This is the good news message. If somebody said to you, give them the gospel, what is the gospel message? What is it simply? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the message. We tell people that Jesus Christ came. When we stand up on a Sunday morning and we talk about the salvation message, I say things like, Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to the earth to die on the cross to pay for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day to conquer death. I'm giving them what? The gospel message over and over. Okay? So that's the key. We got to know the message. We got to be clear on that message. But what's the response? What do we want people to do? The response is to believe the good news. The response is to believe in Jesus Christ. The response is to trust in Christ for eternal life. In fact, I've got to believe. The answer is, so what do we want people to do? To believe. And the offer is what? The offer is what? Eternal life. Just remember that. The offer is not a happy life. The offer is not abundant life. The offer is not a good life. The offer is eternal life. Life forever with Jesus Christ. That's the offer. Don't confuse it. It's that simple. And it's by faith alone in Christ. Look at this. Look at the verses I have for you there. John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever does what? Believes. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you are saved through faith. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 4:5. To whom who does not work but believes. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, here's my word, and believes. And the one who sent me has eternal life. And so when we think about the message and the response, the message is the good news, the gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The response is to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Now I'm just going to stop for just a second. I know time goes by real fast in here, but I want you to understand this. Most of your lives, you heard a different response. You heard to ask Jesus into your heart, give your life to Jesus, walk down an aisle, make him Lord of your life, be willing to commit to Christ. You heard all of these things that people say all the time. The Bible doesn't say that. It says believe. It says trust in. It says take God at his word. Believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Why can you believe in Christ for eternal life? Because good news message is that he died for you and rose again. He paid for your sin and he conquered death and he offers you eternal life, and that eternal life is by faith. Now here's the key. Salvation is in the person of Christ. You are trusting Jesus Christ to give you what? Eternal life. Is it that simple? Is it that simple? Okay, don't mess it up. Okay? When we go out these doors, don't say things that you go, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Well, don't say it. Say what the Bible says. Say believe. Say trust in Christ. Believe in Jesus Christ. Okay? So salvation is in the person of Christ. Okay, we got just a few more minutes and we want to look at the second part of this, and that's the Gospels. And you may have never heard of this, or some of you have if you've been in some of my classes, but let's talk about the Gospels. That's the four books that we find in the Scripture that deal about the life and the ministry of Christ. Now you got to be real careful, because you can't say the Gospels are the life of Christ. They're selected events from the life of Christ. They're not the life of Christ. In fact, John wrote, if all the stuff Jesus did, the whole world couldn't contain the books. So it's not about the life of Christ. It's selected events from the life of Christ. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Of those four, any of those apostles? Are all of them apostles? No, they're not. Who were the 12? Was Matthew one of the 12? Was Mark one of the 12? No, he was not. Was Luke one of the 12? No, he was not. Was John one of the 12? Yes. Mark was a friend of Peter's. Luke was a friend of Paul. Now, we need to know that, right? We need to at least know who the apostles are. Go to the list in Matthew and click through there, and you'll and some of the others, and you'll say, oh, by the way, that's right, Mark and Luke weren't apostles. See, a disciple is one who follows Jesus. An apostle is one sent forth with authority, with the same authority of Jesus Christ. There aren't any more apostles. There are a whole bunch of disciples, right? Because we're supposed to be disciples. Okay. They are the good news message, okay? When you think about these books, here's the question, and that is this. Why are there four stories about Jesus? Why are there these four books which we call the Gospels? Because if you read them, Matthew's one thing, Mark's another thing, Luke's another thing, John's another thing. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are real close together. In fact, they keep the same flow. John's a little bit different. John is showing seven signs that Jesus did. But they're four stories, basically four things about Jesus. Why are there? Here's the answer, and I want you to see this. The Old Testament foretold a message of the Messiah given four views. So on your handout, it said the Old Testament gives four views of the coming Messiah. Did you know that? If you've been in my 2-2 class, you know this. We've taught you this many times. If you've never been in the 2-2 class, I want you to understand that when you read the Old Testament talks about the coming Messiah, and it gives you four views of him. Zechariah 9 says he's going to be a king. Isaiah says 42 says he's going to be a servant. Isaiah 7:14 says he's going to be a man. And Isaiah 9:6 says he's going to be God. So if you looked in the Old Testament and you said, I want to know about this coming Messiah, what's he like? You'd say, well, he's going to be a king. Yeah, that's good. He's going to be a servant. Ooh, how can he be a servant and a king at the same time? Well, that's okay. He's a man. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, he's God. Whoa. How can... So when you look at it, you see that he's a king, a servant, man, and God. And just to put with that, the king would be the one who would come and rule the world as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The servant is the one who's going to come to do the will of the Father. The perfect man is the one who's going to die for mankind. And God is the one who can pay for sin and give eternal life. Those are four views of the Messiah. If you read the Old Testament and dug through the Old Testament, you would see those four pictures of the coming Messiah. Now, here's what is amazing. The four Gospels gives the fulfillment. Look at this. The four Gospels gives us the fulfillment of the four views of the Messiah in the Old Testament. Matthew presents Jesus as the king. Mark presents Jesus as the servant. Luke presents Jesus as the man. John presents Jesus as God. Now, you may have never thought about that. So the next time you read Matthew, you notice he's talking about the one born king of the Jews. You see that he gives the genealogy of the king going back to David. You see that Jesus dies on the cross with the sign above his head, this is Jesus of Nazareth, king of the Jews. That's all in the Gospel of Matthew. When you read the Gospel of Mark, you find that he doesn't even have a birth because a servant doesn't have to have a birth. And you see that Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. When you go to the Gospel of Luke, you find that the Gospel of Luke is all the background about the birth of Christ and talking about Jesus being born and Mary and Joseph and the baby and the shepherds and the angels, all of that. The Gospel of Luke is the one where Jesus is a little boy. I mean, you see all of that in the Gospel of Luke because he's the perfect man. And then you go to the Gospel of John and it begins, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and what? And the Word was God. John presents Jesus Christ as God. So I just want you to understand, and this is why it's so important, that why in the world would there be four gospel messages about Christ? Because they're showing the fulfillment of the four views of the Messiah from the Old Testament. It's fantastic. And we could go into a lot of details, but we've run out of time. But let me throw you these little statements up there before you go to your class. Understanding the meaning of the word gospel. What does it mean? Good news. Understand the message and response to the gospel. The message of the gospel is the what? The death and resurrection of Christ. What's the response? To believe in him for eternal life. Understand the four Old Testament views of the Messiah. He's going to be a king, he's going to be a servant, he's going to be man, and he's going to be God. And understand how the Gospels show the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies in the Messiah, of the Messiah in Jesus Christ.